Welcome to worship. Thank you for coming. On the right-hand side of your bulletin, you will see the activities that are going on at the church this week. On Wednesday night, we are continuing our Bible study in 2 Timothy. And we welcome you to come and join us at 6:30 p.m. in the Ed Building. We start at 6:30 with a light meal, and then we have a time of Bible study and prayer together. Our family fellowship luncheon for the month of August will be a fish fry at Letty Blackwood's house on Wednesday night, August the 10th at 6:30 p.m. A group of us are going to begin to study a very good book by J.I. Packer very soon on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Maybe next Sunday, I think. We'll see. So if you would like to join us for that, let me know and I will give you a book. Barron wrapped up his Sunday school teaching of 1 Corinthians this morning. And next Sunday, Perry Meyer will be the teacher, and he is excited about teaching for about a month on Ephesians chapter 6, spiritual warfare. So please come to that. It's a good time to begin to get in on a new study. Now, the Westminster Shorter Catechism, question number 81 says, "What is forbidden in the 10th commandment?" And the answer is,
"The 10th commandment forbids all good things that are on this day, in the
Our call to worship this morning comes from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 12 through 16. Would you join me and read it responsibly? "So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in Jerusalem," it's talking about, "in order to sanctify the people through his own blood.
Therefore, let us go to him outside of him.
For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come.
For
Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Let's all sing together the doxology. Seated. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you that Jesus suffered and died in order to save us through his own blood. We understand that to embrace him as our Savior and Lord is to bear the reproach of the world, because the world is hostile to you and to our Savior Jesus Christ, but we gladly go to him. We cast ourselves upon him. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come, that you have prepared for your redeemed people. So we come through Jesus, through his shed blood that atones for our sins, to offer up sacrifices of praise to you, the triune holy God, the fruit of lips singing praise to Jehovah, sacrifices of good deeds, and even our money as an offering and prayer. Praying as Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. And now would you please open your hymn book to hymn number 529. And if you are able, would you please stand and let's sing stanzas 1 through 4 of Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. And we'll continue to stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed and sing the Gloria Patri.
Thank you.
join me and let us confess our faith together, our common faith, using the ancient Apostles' Creed. Christian, what is it that you believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Be seated. I forgot to say that Embers to a Flame will meet one more time this afternoon at 6 o'clock to wrap things up. Now let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh Lord our God, we thank You for the promise of forgiveness of sins in Christ Jesus. Thank You that Your Word says that if we confess our sins, You are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We do confess our sins. We pray that You would forgive us as a church for dishonorable conduct that brings reproach against Your name in the community. Forgive us for yielding to the passions of the flesh which wage war against our souls. Forgive us for sinful habits and attitudes. Forgive us for hypocrisy, for conceit and deceitfulness, for constant unbelief, for moral frivolity, for shallow repentance, for half-heartedness, for worldliness, for loving the fleeting pleasures of this world more than Yourself, for seeking the applause of men over the applause of heaven, for despondency, for lack of kindness, for selfishness, for insensitivity, and for lack of compassion. We thank You that we have a Savior who is sufficient for all of our needs. We pray that through Him we may have joy and assurance and boldness, liberty and the fervor of the Holy Spirit. We pray that You would come to the aid of those who are sick and oppressed. We pray for those who are shut in and unable to come to services such as Bess White and Martha Davis and Mary Ellen Lovelady and Mosella Perkins and Bertha McCuller and Lanice Badley. We pray that You would lead them to find meaningful and purposeful ways of spending their hours and days. We pray that You would brighten their days. We pray for missionaries of Christ all over the world and for the missionaries that we personally support, including the Bowlings, the Chaplains, the Davilas, the Hoves, the Hills, the Pattersons, the Romaines, the Cochets, and Larry Brown. It is through supporting them that we try to obey the great commission of taking the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. We pray for more laborers for the harvest, and that the harvest of the whole earth would be plentiful so that people from every nation and tribe and tongue would be brought into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We pray for the preaching of the Word this morning, that Your Spirit would be at work among us and that the message might land in good soil and bring forth fruit that is a hundredfold for the glory of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. responsive reading this morning comes from Psalm 25, and you may find the words to Psalm 25 in the back of your Trinity hymnal on page 792. Would you please join me in reading Psalm 25 responsively? To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God. No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame. Show me your ways, O Lord, teach me your paths. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in his ways. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep the demands of his covenant. Who then is the man that fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way chosen for him. The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Look upon my affliction and my distress, and take away all my sins. Guard my life and rescue me. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. Redeem Israel, O God, from all their troubles. And now, as we continue our worship, we're going to sing hymn number 175. And so, if you're able, would you please stand and let's sing stanzas 1 and 4 of A Wonderful Savior is Jesus My Lord. Thank you. You may be seated. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we prepare to receive our morning offering. Well, Lord our God, we thank you for your unspeakable gift to us in Jesus Christ, who made a substitutionary atoning sacrifice for all of our sins. And it is in response to that, it is as a manifestation of our worship that we bring these offerings. You've taught us, even in this passage that we looked at in Sunday school this morning, a pattern for giving that is where we give proportionally and systematically on the first day of the week. And so we bring these offerings to you and we pray that you would bless them and use them to build up the kingdom of Christ here in this place and even unto the uttermost parts of the earth. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. The message this morning comes from Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 18. Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 18. And this is what it says. Soon afterward, he went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others, who provided for them out of their means. And when a great crowd was gathering, and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it, and some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded a hundredfold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care, then, how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away." This is the word of God. The grass withers, the flower fades, The Word of God stands and abides forever. It is by it that we are saved. And we'll bring a message entitled, "Why Doesn't the Gospel Convert Everyone Who Hears It?" From that passage, after the choir sings a special at this time. The gospel is the greatest good news for sinners. But why doesn't the gospel convert everyone who hears it? I'll bring that message after the special news.
God, the changing hand.